The Census Bureau is preparing for the 2020 census in the face of mandatory budget cuts the past 2 years. Todd Zinser is Inspector General at the Commerce Department. He and his team are looking at how closely the Census Bureau is following its financial guidance for absorbing those cuts and preparing for 2020 at the same time. Todd, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for your time today. Every agency is figuring out what they've been dealing with in the past year or two as far as budget cycles and so on. What did you find when you looked at how Census made it through the budget cuts of the last couple of years in anticipation of 2020?
Hi, Francis. Thanks for having me again. Yeah, we started an audit back in July of last year because we were concerned about how the Census Bureau was going to handle the cuts that were mandated by the sequester. And so we started out with an objective to see how they were going to handle those. And fairly early on in the audit, we determined that we weren't going to be able to meet that objective because we found that the Census Bureau wasn't properly accounting for their time on the various research and testing projects that they were engaged in.
The numbers here are kind of striking, Todd, because you're right. At a cost of $94 per household, the life cycle cost of the 2010 census was about $13 billion. If this bureau fails to innovate in the areas of the design, implementation, and management of the decennial census, the per household cost of the 2020 census could reach $148. That's a 50% increase, and I can't imagine any scenario where the Census Bureau winds up with a 50% increase in budget. Is that off base?
That's right. The 2010 cost about $13 billion, and the projection, if Census does the 2020 Census in the same way, it's going to cost at least $18 billion.
A couple of findings that I wanted to ask you about. This report says, due to inaccurate cost information, the impact of budget reductions cannot be determined. And you mentioned that a moment ago. You couldn't even really go about getting the data that you needed because you couldn't get a hold of it. It was inaccurate. Are they not collecting the data correctly? Are they not presenting the data correctly? Or are they not collecting the data at all that causes this inaccurate result?
Well, we employed a fairly simple methodology. We looked at the number of projects, research and testing projects, that the census had planned, which are about 64, and we went about to see the employees who were working on those projects, how much time they were charging in the automated time and attendance system. But what we found is that instead of the employees charging their actual time, they were told, or the budget office allocated employee time across those projects, and those are the numbers that were put into the WebTNA system. So, for example, if you were a census employee and you were assigned two different projects, the budget office would tell you that, well, 50% of your time goes to project A, 50% of your time goes to project B, whether that's how you actually spent your time or not. You could have spent 90% of your time on project A, but in the WebTNA system, it's going to show 50% of your time. So, and we found that across the board. For example, we asked for rosters of team members on various projects. Well, the first problem was that they didn't really have rosters for most of their projects. I think we found less than half of the projects had rosters of team members assigned. So for those, and then they came up with the rosters for us. And when we looked at those rosters, we found 147 employees who were assigned to seven projects, but 600 employees were charging time to those projects. So that was quite a discrepancy, and we found that as a very serious problem in the research and testing division of the Census Bureau, and really caused us to kind of abandon that objective and start focusing on how they were recording their costs.
Another finding, budget fund transfers prevent the Bureau from validating budget estimates and identifying inaccurate project costs. And it sounds like that stems from the problem that you just talked about, because if there's no, tell me if I'm getting this right, if there's no reliable data on what costs are attributed to what projects, then for you to come in or for somebody in the agency to go in and try to figure out where all the money's being shifted to and from is going to be impossible.
Correct. And this also has a serious implication for appropriations law. Census gets its money in three different buckets. The first bucket is periodic census and program. The second budget is just plain salaries and expenses. And then the third bucket is their working capital fund. And each of those buckets have certain purposes, and you can't charge expenses or costs across those lines if those costs weren't incurred for that purpose. It violates the what's called the Purpose Act. So they're not keeping true account for what projects or what lines are being charged. And, you know, if they look into it, they could find some appropriation law violations.
The third of your four findings, I have to say I was surprised, and maybe I didn't read it right, but the decennial program does not have support for budget requests. And you note here, decennial program management didn't provide us with documentation supporting FY13 and 14 congressional budget justifications that tied specific requests in the president's budget to specific project activities. It sounds to me, Todd, like what that means is they ask for money to do certain things and then aren't able to demonstrate whether that's where the money actually went or not, and that's a big deal, if I got that right.
That's exactly right. They generate their budget estimates and budget requests based on past history of what they spent on those types of projects, and as we found in our audit, the costs for those past activities aren't valid or aren't reliable.
The fourth finding is the Economics and Statistics Administration, ESA, should develop a stronger oversight process for monitoring the decennial program's progress in reducing 2020 decennial census costs. What is the ESA's role in this oversight process, and what role should they be playing in trying to cut costs, as we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, Todd?
Yeah, not too many people realize this, but the Census Bureau is actually housed in the Economic and Statistical Administration, and they're the parent of both the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So there's an undersecretary that basically serves as the supervisor for the Census Director, reporting directly to the secretary, and they really have oversight responsibility. And the reason we put that recommendation in there is because in the 2010 decennial, there was a total breakdown in oversight, and as your listeners might remember, there was a what Senator Mikulski calls a techno boondoggle with the handheld computer, and any opportunity we get to point out where we think greater oversight by the upper levels in the department are required, we take the opportunity to make that recommendation.
I scribble notes, Todd, as I go through these conversations with my guests, and one of the scribbles that I have here is Census Bureau handheld, and that's where I wanted to go next, and you anticipated that question. What's the role of who inside the Census Bureau to make sure that that doesn't happen again in 2020 as we go through this innovation process that you alluded to at the beginning, so that we don't see an escalation from $94 a household to $148 a head?
Well, it's really the responsibility of the Census Director, of course, and then he has a decennial program manager that that reports to him. But I think one of the things that really hampered their efforts in 2010 is that the CIO for the Census Bureau back then was totally cut out of the acquisition for the handheld computer. So they didn't really, in our view, bring the right people to the project. And it was all kept in this insular decennial group that existed back then. And I really do think the Census Bureau has made a lot of progress in making their process more transparent, more open, working across the stovepipes in a better way. But I think we're more optimistic that this process for 2020 is going to be better.
And that's where I wanted to leave it, because the things we've talked about so far have not been particularly positive. But when you write about what you found, the first statement that you make, the Census Bureau's decennial program generally adhered to Office of Management and Budget and departmental guidance for implementing mandatory budget reductions. So as they went through the sequester issues and the shutdown issues, it appears that at least they did follow procedure there from the way you report it. And that's maybe a good start, if not necessarily a completion of where you would like them to be?
Yes, the top line number and the reduction from the top line number, they did make the reduction. And what we were looking at is, if you have to choose between those 64 research and testing projects that you have planned, if you have to choose between them, and one of the factors is cost and, you know, best bang for the buck, how are you making those decisions? So the top level cut they did, but whether or not they made the right cuts based on the right information we're not so sure.
And I appreciate you explaining why you're not so sure, and we're going to link your report, Todd, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Thanks for your time, as always. It's great to have you on the program.
Okay. Thank you, Francis.